Hi, this is Dan Melton. Thanks for joining us for this podcast of St. Andrew's Weekly Message. I hope you enjoy it. I encourage you to listen through the words to what God is saying to you, and may the peace of God be known through your life this week. Anyone ready for Christmas here? We went through the round of, hey, we're not sure if we have enough for so-and-so yesterday. I was like, that's about on time. We do our big shopping around Thanksgiving with all the sales, and then we fill in as needed. Some of you may relate to that. It's a busy time for sure, and lots of activity. I don't know about you, but we find ourselves busier this year, and it's interesting because we have the logistics of Christmas, but then we also find ourselves, well, let's celebrate this and do this activity, and it is a wonderful time of year. We found ourselves yesterday on the way to the Kennedy Center to watch a play in the family theater there, and we enjoyed it very much. It's one of those things where coming from Frederick to D.C., you never quite know how long it's going to take, right? It's like, I think that the play starts at this time, and I think if we leave, you know, at this time, we should get there no problem. But now we have these modern devices. I have mine over there, but the phone and now the screens in the cars, and they start calculating. Have you ever been on a road trip where the time goes up? Like, you're supposed to be somewhere, but the time is going up, and I'm yelling at the family, get in the car, bring whatever you have, practically drag family members and threw them in the car. We're on our way, and the time is going up, and then it's going down a little, and then it's going up, and then it's going down a little bit, and we get down to 270, and some of you know that area where it forks off into 495, and there's almost always a jam there. And these modern programs are interesting. We decided we don't just need one opinion, we need more than one opinion. So we've got Google going over here and Apple Maps going over here, and we thought about pulling up the other one called Waze, and like, let's have a jury, like, which way should we go here? Should we take a detour? Have any of you ever done that, where you've gotten in a traffic jam and you take a detour? And have any of you ever found that the detour took longer than the initial traffic jam? We had that happen to us recently as well. And we were in one of those situations where we're driving, it says detour. At the last minute, don't detour. So we stay on 495. And we finally made it there, ironically, at the exact same time that Google said we would when we left the house. But we find these new ways to create modern dramas. I have found we have a lot of family in the South. My daughter goes to college in the South. We head down that way. Maybe you head north. But have you noticed that the main arteries, either south or north, tend to be clogged and congested? That you can't just get in the car and assume, oh, well, it's this many miles, I'm going to drive 70 miles an hour, 65, whatever it is, and I'll get there on time. You can't do that anymore. It tends to be clogged and congested, and not many of us love that. Not many of us love, like, oh, we're almost there. Oh, we're going to be sitting in traffic for a half hour. And now we can quantify it. This app says it's going to be 30 minutes. Words like, let's think this week, words like clogged, congested, stopped up. It doesn't matter if it's a road, a freeway, a plumbing system, or a nostril. We tend not to like any of these words. There's almost no positive way to use any of those words, clogged, congested, stopped up. And that can be true of our schedule during the holidays, clogged, congested. There can be congestion, like credit card have limits. And that can feel like kind of congested, that credit card, when you look at like how close it gets to the limit. Not too long ago, as we were, you know, hurrying around doing our Christmas thing, Julie asked me to stop by one of the big box stores in Frederick just to run in for one or two items. I got closer and closer, and I saw all along on the car screen, red, just encircling, encasing the big box store in traffic. And I thought, I think I'm not going to go in there. I don't think I want to wait in that for one or two items. We don't like to feel like our way forward is blocked in life. And that's true on many levels. It's true whether we're driving. It's true whether we're trying to breathe clearly. It's true whether or not we have a relationship with someone. It's true of bureaucracy at work. We don't like things to be clogged and congested. And when we come to Advent, we come to Christmas, and we've been through Thanksgiving. We're headed also toward New Year's. maybe we want to have just open and free and enjoyable experiences with family members and friends, but maybe things are a little congested, emotionally speaking, a little blocked relationally. Maybe we're estranged. Maybe things aren't going as well as they could. Maybe there are things that we wish was different about that person or our relationship with that person. That can be true. And what about our relationship with God? Sometimes we can be so busy and distracted with everything else, we forget to even evaluate that relationship. Well, at Advent, we may wish we felt more peace or security, and I'm going to continue talking. Those of you on YouTube, I'm going to leave you for a moment, and I'll be right back. But we wish that we could help refocus what Advent was. We wish that occluded relationship become open. We wish that that prayer life that we want to have would be free and unobstructed, but we find ourselves so often so busy, and that stops us from experiencing that freedom and that joy. In Isaiah 40, we read what we as Christians read is a foreshadowing of the proclamation of John the Baptist and the coming of Christ, but this is in the Old Testament. And we read in Isaiah, a voice cries out, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. So here the hearers of this prophecy are told to prepare. And there's this idea that there is a wilderness, there's a place that is uncleared, but Isaiah says, clear it. Build a road through that. Make it unobstructed. Take away the blockage. I was thinking, what does that mean on the spiritual level at Advent? How do we open a thoroughfare in our lives for God's arrival? How do we unclog the spiritual pipes, so to speak? Well, last week I shared the story of how I found among the 400,000 books at Princeton Seminary, a little gem of readings for Advent from the Scriptures. It's called Advent and Christmas with the Church Fathers. And the irony of it is I walked through all these old, big, huge volumes, some of them this thick, in my search for Advent material, and I wound up with this little one. Because there are so many gems in here, and it actually doesn't take a lot of space to say things that are wise and succinct, and that's a good thing. A passage by one of the fathers named Origen, who lived in the second and third centuries, became a sought-after teacher and theologian. He died in the year 250 after being tortured by the Romans for refusing to make sacrifices to the Roman gods and the well-being of the emperor. And in this passage, he reflects on Isaiah chapter 40. He writes, "The Lord seeks to find in you, a pathway to enter your soul and to complete his journey. Thus, prepare for him that path of which it has been written, make straight in the wasteland a highway. A voice cries out. There is thus a voice calling, prepare the way. Indeed, the voice is first to reach the ears, then after the voice, or rather together with the voice, comes the word that penetrates the hearing. And it is in the sense that Christ is proclaimed at Advent." He said, "It is through this type of path that the word of God enters, taking up his place in the human heart that is ready and willing to welcome him. It is through this type of path that the word of God enters, taking up his place in the human heart that is ready to welcome him." So at Advent for Origen, the highway for God in Isaiah leads to the human heart. And I thought, how do you make straight that path? How do you clear the way to the heart for God? Well, first I thought we can ask, what is the obstruction? What is the nature of the obstruction in us or the wilderness in us? What is clogging the pathway to the heart? What field would have to be cleared so we could get where we needed to go spiritually? And I thought, well, probably a lot of things. I mean, all of us would answer those questions and that set of questions differently. I was reflecting back, you know, life has been very different since March of 2020. And for many of us, we would just want to sort of erase the last couple years and a lot of the stress and the angst of the last couple years. Most of us have moved on, but perhaps we're so anxious to move on that we are forgetting that those years, for some of us at least, were a time of immense stress and sadness. I talked to somebody in the healthcare profession that said, I get up in the morning and I cry every day. Those were, for some of us, dark times, and some of us carry around feelings of anger and fear, and I wonder how that still affects us, or if it does. Sometimes every once in a while I see the year 2020 in print, And there's just a part of, there's like this internal cringe. It's not voluntary. It's just sort of there. So we carry around baggage in our lives, and baggage can look a lot, that's just one example, it can look like a lot of different things. We can also be looking at our current circumstances, our budgets, our extended family, our workplace, our business, and maybe there is some wreckage there. Maybe there's a wilderness, there's just overgrown brush we can't walk through. Careers, relationships, personal integrity. Maybe there's been a personal failure. Maybe there's addiction. Maybe we're bitter. Maybe we're guilty or ashamed. Maybe there's something that's going on in life that's not a full-on car wreck, let's say, but maybe a sizable fender bender. Maybe an aspect or a dynamic of our life is sort of pulled over on the side of the road with steam coming out of the hood, a little dinged up. Maybe it's minor. Maybe it's major. And again, we'd all answer the question differently. There are 1,000 wreckages that can obstruct the pathway into our heart. Lots of ways that pathway can be clogged with traffic, if you will, that's unwelcome. The question is, how do you clear it? How do you get rid of it? How do you open it up so the pathway to God is straight? I was thinking, well, in Advent, that's a time of anticipation. It's a time of invitation. How do we welcome God's presence more deeply into our lives? I was reflecting years ago when I was a college student, and it was years ago, a little booklet was passed around called My Heart, Christ's Home. We still have copies of it occasionally here in the building. Occasionally people will pick that up. But it was originally a little pamphlet about having faith. It was written in 1954 by a Presbyterian pastor in California named Robert Boyd Munger, who was later a professor of evangelism at my alma mater, Fuller Seminary in Pasadena. And it's been updated a few times, but the language is still kind of old-fashioned. It's archaic, and yet it does communicate a valuable insight into the nature of human beings and their relationship with God and the possibilities for inviting Christ in. And I'm going to read a little bit of that booklet to you today. It starts out like this. One evening, the author says, I invited Jesus Christ into my heart. What an entrance he made. It was not a spectacular emotional thing, but very real. Something happened at the very center of my life. He came into the darkness of my heart and turned on the light. He built a fire on the hearth and banished the chill. He started music where there had been silence. And of course, I'm excerpting here, reading parts of it. He continues, in the joy of this new relationship, I said to Jesus Christ, Lord, I want this heart of mine to be yours. I want to have you settle down here and be perfectly at home. Everything I have belongs to you. Let me show you around. And so they go into the study. He said the very first room was the study, the library. In my home, this room of the mind is a very small room with thick walls, but it's an important room, kind of the control room of the house. And Jesus entered with me and looked around at the books on the bookcase, the magazines on the table, the pictures on the wall. And as I followed his gaze, I realized I was becoming uncomfortable. Strangely, I had not felt self-conscious before, but now that he was there just observing my life, I felt a little embarrassed. There were things there that were probably not the best things to have on the shelf. And I said, you know, I know this room, Master, needs to be cleaned up a little bit. Will you help me make it what it ought to be? Jesus says, certainly. I'm glad to help you. Take the things that you're uncomfortable with and throw them away and replace them with things that have to do with the life of God and Scripture and meditate on those day and night. And I'm paraphrasing here if you have the booklet. This is sort of the Dan version of it. But we continue. They go to the dining room. And they say, for the dining room, we went into the study, the room of appetites and desires. Jesus seated himself at the table and said, what's on the menu for dinner? And I said, oh, my favorite dishes, money, academic degrees, stocks, articles with fame and fortune as side dishes. These are the things I liked, he writes, secular fare. But when the food was placed before him, he said nothing. And I just observed he wasn't eating. And I said, Jesus, don't you care for this food? What's the trouble? He said, I have food to eat that you don't know of. It's food that really satisfies you. Do the will of the Father. Stop seeking some of this stuff. Seek to please him. That will satisfy you, and you will be satiated. They go into the living room, and it's a place of companionship, and they agree that they will meet there for companionship daily. And morning by morning, this man comes down to the room, and they open the scriptures together, and they share, and they talk, and they drink coffee together. However, he writes, little by little, under the pressure of many responsibilities, this time began to be shortened. Why? I'm not sure. I thought I was too busy to spend regular time with Christ. It wasn't intentional. It just happened that way. And the time was shortened, but then I began to miss complete days now and again. Urgent matters came about. It would crowd out this time. And I remember one door rushing downstairs, eager to be on my way out the house, and I passed the living room and noticed I saw a fire in the fireplace and Jesus was sitting there alone. And suddenly, in dismay, I thought to myself, oh my gosh, he's my guest. I invited him into this heart, into this life. He's come as my savior and my friend, but I'm neglecting him. And so I walked and I said, I'm so sorry. Have you been here all these mornings when I've been rushing out? Yes, he said, I told you I would be here every morning to meet with you. Remember, I love you. Even if you can't keep the time for your own sake, can you do it for mine? I love you. The truth that Christ desires my companionship, that he wants me to be with him and waits for me, has done more to transform my devotional life than any other single fact. Then they go to the workroom. Jesus looks over the workbench and says, this is very well furnished. What are you producing with all this? What are you making for your life with the kingdom, for the kingdom of God? He looked over the things that I had thrown together on a bench and held one up to me and he said, these are good things, but are you doing more? Are you doing things for your Christian life? And he said, well, you know, I want to do more, but I don't know how. I don't feel like I have the strength or the skill. But the Holy Spirit is the worst master workman, and if he controls your hands and your heart, Jesus says, he will work through you. And so stepping around behind me, putting his strong hands under mine, he held the different tools, new tools, in his skilled fingers and began to work through me. And the more I relaxed and trusted Jesus, the more he was able to do with my life. Towards the end of the booklet, they go to the hall closet. Jesus is waiting there. He doesn't look happy. An arresting look was in his eye. And Jesus said, there's an odor in this house, and I think it's in this closet. There must be something dead in here. As soon as he said this, I knew what he was talking about. There was a small closet up there on the landing. Things in there I just didn't want anybody to know about. I didn't want Christ to see them. I knew they were dead and rotting things left over from the way I used to live, but I wanted them so for myself that I was afraid to admit that they were there. But reluctantly, I went up with him. I went over to the door, and I thought, stopped, and I said, this is too much. I'm not going to give him the key to this one. And so he stopped. Well, Jesus said, I'm not able to stay up here and not able to live in the house with the smell. So it's okay. I'll go out, and I will live on the porch. And then I saw him start down the stairs. He says, when one comes to know and love Christ, the worst thing that can happen is to sense him withdrawing his fellowship. I had to give in. I'll give you the key, I said, but you're going to have to open that closet and clean it out because I don't have the strength to do it. Jesus said, that's okay. Just give me the key and authorize me to take care of it, and I will. So with trembling fingers, I passed the key to him. He took it, walked over to the door, opened it, entered, and took out all the putrefying stuff that was rotting in there and threw it away. He cleaned it out and he painted it. It was all done in a moment's time. And that felt like victory and release to have that dead thing out of my life. Well, at the very end of the pamphlet, he decides it is time to transfer the title. He decides you've been the guest and I've been the host. But now I want to sign over this life of mine, this house of my life and heart to you. I want you to be the title holder and I want to be the servant. He concludes, things have been different since Jesus Christ has settled down and made his home in my heart. Now, I will say this is not a theologically perfect metaphor, but it is a powerful one. It reminds us that we have an ongoing union with God. And I thought as I came across, it was interesting to be in the 3rd century and in the 20th century and read authors who were saying much the same thing with different language. This reads like a pamphlet from the 50s. That reads like a pamphlet from the 50s, My Heart, Christ, Home. But in the same way, he's saying the same thing that the great theologian and martyr Origen said in the 3rd century. Christ seeks to find in our hearts a home. And God wants to make a pathway to our hearts. God and the human heart are to be in union. That is the point. Whether you're reading Origen or Robert Boyd Munger in the 50s. Is it possible we can look out there and say, you know, there's a lot going on out there. This situation is like untamed wilderness. This situation is like a fender bender. This situation is like a rolling dumpster fire. This one's a train wreck. I'm busy. I'm preoccupied. Work and my phone and social media create a lot of noise and static in my life. And yet, I want the road to my heart and mind to be wide open for grace and love at Advent. Clear the path. Make straight the path through the wilderness for our God. Are you ready for this Advent, for your heart, for your life to be wide open to God's presence? Let's pray. Almighty God, we've been talking about making parenthesis around our lives this Advent season to keep the noise at bay and to create in our own lives a quiet space for your still small voice to contemplate the meaning of this season. Almighty God, we thank you for this idea that God wants to make a way through the wilderness into the human heart. We pray that the way to our hearts and minds would be uncongested, not too busy, not clogged, so that we can experience spiritually the free and open grace and love of God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.